I think the state of the Democratic Party in the next decade is going to be very good. First of all, with the passage of the Fair Districts Amendments that give redistricting back into the power of the people, where people choose the politicians instead of the other way around, I think that will bring some fair districts. And I think as a result, you'll see the Democrats take more seats back in the state legislature. And this is a state where there's 500,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans. If you take the last 4 to 5 presidential elections and combine them all and take out the vote, literally the difference between D's and R's over the last 5 presidential elections is something like 80,000 votes. So this is a very equal state. And yet, because of the gerrymandering that's been allowed to happen, and look, the Democrats did it back when they got the chance to, but because of that, right now we have a 2/3 Republican legislature in both chambers.
Now, as you pointed out, there are still more registered Democrats in Florida than Republicans. But if that is the case, why does the Democratic Party in Florida find itself in such a weak position now?
Well, it's a couple of factors. It's definitely the gerrymandering. Because if you go into, let's take Volusia County, right here in central Florida, if you go into their local governments, even though they're technically nonpartisan races, you will see a lot of registered Democrats holding local elected office. But yet at the same time in that county, you see basically zero state elected officials coming from Volusia because of the gerrymandering. So, you'll hear the other side say, oh, it's because their policies are out of favor. But actually, if you look at the polling on issues, most people tend to favor the Democratic issues. And so then the other problem becomes once you get gerrymandering, then you have fewer competitive seats in every election cycle, which favors money. At that point, you're favoring money. In fact, Florida is the second least competitive state when it comes to state legislative races, only in front of Arkansas as far as competitiveness. As a result, there's very few competitive races every election cycle, and so huge money flows into just a few legislative races. So regular people, normal people, have a very difficult time running for office. They have a very difficult time raising the amount of money that's going to be spent against them. In 2006, my seat still holds the state record for the most expensive state house seat. And after my opponent switched to the Republican Party, it's estimated they spent about $1.6 million in a state house race. And myself and the Democratic Party, we probably spent about $350,000. So it was literally a $2 million race for a state house seat because all the money flows into those few seats that are competitive.
Well, and the legislative session is starting early this year so that you and your colleagues will have more time to work on redrawing those districts. Tell me, what are some of the other Democratic priorities heading into the upcoming session? And do you think you'll be able to bring enough Republicans across the aisle to help you pass some of those initiatives?
I think we still have some moderate Republicans in the Senate. And I think we saw that last year as some of the more far-right agenda was getting passed by the House and going over to the Senate where it died. And so I think we're still lucky to have that moderate Republican in the Senate. On the House side, it tends to be more partisan. It tends to be, you know, like most lower chambers, legislative chambers are. And so at the House, there's not much movement between the parties. But, some of the big issues this year are going to be the Republicans and Rick Scott cut $1.3 billion from public education last year. Governor Scott actually wanted $3.5 billion almost cut, but only got $1.3 billion. With the state budget deficit the way it is, we want to make sure that there's no more education cuts. We think that obviously the future of Florida depends upon investing in education, and we need to make that a priority. We need to find the money to make that happen. Otherwise, we're going to be shortchanging our state. But the same with health care for our seniors and our disabled. We are not going to be a good place to live if we have seniors and disabled literally dying on our streets. And people think that that's an exaggeration, but we're literally getting there. It may not be on the streets, but it'll be in whatever home or shelter that they're living in. And we're getting to that point on some of this. But yet at the same time, you've got the governor that says, I'm going to give more corporate tax cuts. And even his own chief of staff said that's not going to create jobs. That's not going to do anything for the economy. So basically, his economic proposal is to just give more money into big corporate pockets for no good reason. And we've already seen that in this state, and we don't need any more of that.
But as you know, the Republican leadership says that while some of these measures might be difficult in the short term, they say that over the long run, making the state into a more business-friendly environment attracts more companies, creates more jobs, and elevates the entire state's economy.
Well, first of all, Florida's, I mean, look at a lot of different business journals. Florida is ranked as one of the most quote unquote friendly business states, business climate states in the country. And so cutting more corporate taxes isn't going to get us there. And certainly, look, you know, giving me a $400 or $500, even a $1,000 corporate tax break isn't going to make me hire someone if I don't have a demand for my product or service. And until you create demand for a product and services, then you're not going to be able to create jobs. I mean, let's take an example, and I'll try not to get too much in the weeds. But basically, for years, we've been pushing to collect internet sales tax, basically Amazon.com. You know, and so this probably deprives the state of about $200 to $400 million of revenue every year. And it's unfair to local retailers as well. Local small businesses that are put at a disadvantage over Amazon. So there's finally some push to close that loophole. But what they want to do then is to use that money to cut corporate income taxes. But yet at the same time, just 2 years ago, they raised taxes. The majority raised taxes on the middle class by about $900 million a year. But there's no discussion that if there's going to be an offset, why are we not offsetting it with tax cuts to the middle class? And those tax cuts came in the form of if you've renewed your driver's license, your license tag, if you happen to be a small business that has commercial vehicles, you've seen those fees and costs go up tremendously because of what the majority did in 2009. But yet they want to instead cut more corporate income taxes. If we're going to hand out any tax cuts, it needs to go to the middle class and the guy that gets up and goes to work every day.
You know, Representative, some of these points that you're making are very similar to what we've been hearing from the Occupy movement, Occupy Orlando and the other Occupy protests around the country. I'm wondering what your feelings are about what's going on there. Are you in support of taking these issues to the street, so to speak, or would you prefer to see these folks channeling all that energy to work more within the political system?
I think it's great when people work outside the system. I think it challenges the system, whether it's on the left or the right. As we saw, the Tea Party last year challenged the Republican system. I think the Occupy movements around the country should challenge the Democratic system. And I think people, and they should be angry, by the way. If, as the saying goes, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. They should be angry that both the Democratic, quite frankly, and the Republican Party have kowtowed to Wall Street way too long. And I will criticize my own party for that. Certainly the Republicans have now basically handed over that party to Wall Street, and the Democrats, quite frankly, have given them too much favors too. And it's hurting America. And I think everybody feels like that, whether you're out there, whether you're a Tea Party person or whether you're Occupy. The person that gets up and goes to work every day feels like they're taxed a lot. And they are, because the taxes have been shifted down to the guys and women that go to work every day. Huge corporate tax cuts have been given out to the big multinational corporations. They don't pay taxes. Don't let them let you kid you with the 35% tax rate. And then the top 1%, the same type of tax cuts. And all those taxes were shifted down to the middle class. And now we're being told we're the ones that are supposed to sacrifice for the failures of the policies that the top 1% have put on this country. And so I think people should be angry about what's going on. And I hope the Occupy movement forces the Democratic Party to take that feeling more serious. Quite frankly, I'm very much in favor of their tactics, of their movement. And this is how things get done. You know, things get done when people get out on the streets. Things don't get done by making anonymous comments on internet boards. We sort of lost that, you know, with the advent of the internet and being able to make comments on, you know, sitting at your computer. But that doesn't change anything. And I think when people get out there in the streets and bring community back, it almost brings a community feeling back to it, too, to know that there's other people out there that feel the same way. I think that's when things change. And I hope this is a sustainable movement.
One of the initiatives that you're backing in this upcoming session is the Competitive Workforce Act, which would ban discrimination based on sexual orientation in the workplace, as well as housing and public accommodations. And polls show that most Floridians favor equal rights for sexual minorities. Do you think that you'll be able to lure some Republicans over to your side to advance that initiative?
I think this is actually one of those cases where we might be able to do that. We've seen at least some moderate Republicans not take such an ideological position on GLBT rights lately, especially when it comes to jobs. You know, and 75% of Fortune 500 companies have an anti-discrimination policy. So I think, you know, when we're talking about creating and attracting high-wage and high-paying jobs, that we're known as a state that not only respects, but that encourages and mandates that you have equal employment and you can't be fired for your sexual orientation. And I think that's important to attract and know that when those companies come down here, that they know that they'll have the pool of employees to be able to work down here.
Well, your statewide convention is happening this week, and Vice President Joe Biden is coming in to give the keynote address at the convention. Given the importance of Florida and the I-4 corridor in presidential politics, we're likely to be seeing more of Mr. Biden and President Obama over the next year or so. But given the president's low approval ratings in most polls, do you think having them in the state hurts or helps Florida Democrats?
I think there's you see a lot of the polling about job approval. You know, there was something about, oh, Hispanics aren't overwhelmingly happy with Obama. There's a big difference from not being thrilled with someone than pulling the lever for someone else. And I think given the pool of candidates that the Republicans have out there right now, I'm not overly worried about people pulling the lever for any of their candidates over there. So for the Democrats, it comes down to motivation. And that's where bringing the president in and bringing the vice president in and just getting our voters and our base motivated for that next election cycle, that's where that's going to help. I think that is, quite frankly, the biggest challenge that the Democrats will have next time. And you'll always have that some of that challenge with an incumbent president. It's a motivation issue. And so, but I think as long as we can motivate our voters, we're going to win this election.
Well, in this next election cycle coming up, you know, we have a number of high-profile Democrats in the state who may decide to run for office again. I'm thinking of Dan Galber and Alex Sink, Al Lawson, a number of others. Do you think that with so many Democrats looking to get on the ballot, that might lead to some heated primary battles?
Well, I think if Rick Scott's unpopularity continues as strong as it is now, you know, there's definitely a chance for a heated primary in the governor's race in 2014. I hope that it doesn't get nasty, but I'm someone that, look, I took on a Democratic incumbent when I first ran, so I'm someone that doesn't think primaries are a bad thing. They can be, but, you know, you do them right and you strengthen everybody. So I think we're going to have some big names run. Clearly, you know, even Charlie Crist's name has popped up, but quite frankly, I hope we get somebody who has been a more solid Democrat than somebody who just changes party every election cycle. I mean, imagine that. If Charlie Crist ran for governor, he would have now covered three election cycles in three different parties. And then 2006 being a Republican, 2010 being an independent, 2014 being a Democrat. I think party switchers have a very, very hard time getting through primaries.
So do you think Alex Sink will make another bid, or will someone else step up?
I think Alex Sink will make another bid. It'll be interesting to see if she can get the support. I'm hoping, quite frankly, I hope that Dan Galber makes a bid. I wouldn't be surprised if we see somebody from Central Florida make that bid. I'm not going to throw their names out there, but, and it's not mine, but I've talked
that
to
some
people.
That was my next question. will we see Scott Randolph running for governor someday?
Maybe someday, okay. But not in 2014 unless suddenly I came into some lottery money somewhere.